I am Jim Rome, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, just payments, and closing costs all online in real time? Well, Rocket can. All right, so hour number three is like this. Welcome to the show. Jordan Palmer is going to join me at 11:40. That's the last segment of the program, meaning I've got two segments that are wide open. I could lay out content straight, top to bottom for the next two segments, or if you want in and you want to participate, go ahead and do it. 1-800-636-8686. I talked about, if you're joining us late, what happened Saturday night. Jake Paul icing Ben Askren. Askren doing the absolute impossible, getting people to hate him more than the YouTuber himself. And then as bad a night as that was for Ben, and I'm not even sure Ben thinks that was that bad of a night, because he did get paid, and he said that he would. I still think that as bad of a night as that was for him, as bad of a look as that was for him, Oscar De La Hoya still had a worse night. And I'm not here to pile on or mock him, because I think this dude's got some serious issues. If you're showing up for a night like that, where they're paying you to do a job, and you show up for work like that, you got a real problem. Whatever it is he was on, I don't know what he was on. Because if he was sober and not on anything, he may have an even bigger problem. Could you imagine, you know, that whole thing that you clones love, like, if it were me, if I pulled that crap, I'd get fired. Right. Could you imagine any of us showing up to work in that condition? It would go really badly. So my thing is, I'm really concerned about this guy. And if I were close to this guy, and I cared about this guy, and I love this guy, man, I'd let him know. Dude, you have a real problem. And it's not that you were mocked and crucified on Twitter. It's that you're showing up in that condition to go to work. We got a problem here. We need help. You need help. We're going to get you that help. And just in terms of the way I see this guy, like, not only am I concerned about that, man, I so badly want to remember the golden boy for being the golden boy. Times change. People get older. Things change. The world changes. I'm not looking to stop the world and lock it in when he won the gold medal. I just prefer to remember him and his great moments. Because De La Hoya was a great, great fighter and a class act. And he had a chip. He had an edge. He was the pretty boy, for sure. But he had a lot. There was so much to like and respect about him. And he had some amazing moments. I can remember back in 07... where I sat with him at Super Bowl, and this was some of the real De La Hoya coming out when he was talking about Floyd Mayweather and how badly he wanted a piece of him.
Little pretty boy over there, Floyd Mayweather, has the nerve to sit right next to me and tell me he's going to beat my ass. Come on now.
Come on now.
Big mistake.
Yeah, you
big mistake.
Oh. Are you selling the fight right now?
My motivation is just oozing out of me.
Come on now.
I needed that.
I'm glad he did that. Yeah, we don't hear that stuff normally, right? That usually goes in one ear and out the other.
No, I'm glad he did that. Just like Ricardo Mayorga did the same thing. I'm glad he said that.
Seriously, you're serious about this?
Oh, absolutely.
You're pissed?
Absolutely. I wasn't pissed before, but now I am.
You know, and I kind of, in that moment, I bought it. I mean, that was that De La Hoya pride that was coming through. And it sounded pretty serious. And I remember some of those great fights that he had and some of the great personalities. Like this, "Dear Jim, I hereby give my son up for adoption. Sincerely, Fernando Vargas." If you know me and you know this show, one of my favorite eras of this program was the Vargas De La Hoya thing. Man, you got two guys from Southern California, could not be more opposite, and their fan bases could not be more opposite. And I'm here to tell you the hate between the two of them was so real, and it was so awesome. And when they finally got in the ring, it was so incredible. Man, the bleep that Vargas used to talk about De La Hoya on this show was amazing.
Now, listening to what you say about the first time you met Trinidad, it sounds like it was just the opposite of the first time you met your son.
Exactly. Well, you know, I told you that I definitely gave my son up for adoption. He's no longer my son. He's not worthy of being my son. You know, I can't have a son of mine being a Ricky Martin impersonator. I can't have that.
Fernando Vargas was saying stuff like that about De La Hoya back in the day. He was incredible. Vargas's rap was amazing. Calling him my son and saying that he's giving his son up for adoption because he cannot have a son who's a Ricky Martin impersonator. And then Oscar got him out to end that fight. And I cannot begin to tell you how personal that was between the two of them and how intense that fight was and how much I enjoyed that. So to see Oscar at 48 now, show up like that, sounding like that, looking like that, on whatever he was, Matt, sad. Just sad and really concerning. Fernando Vargas, he was one of my favorites, man. My man was just street. He was tough, and he was real, and he was raw. I'm going to say that he was never the same after losing that fight. And I know how badly he wanted to beat De La Hoya. I knew how much he had riding on that. Like, that literally was every ounce of his fiber, man. His manhood. He did not want his son to beat him. And De La Hoya finished that fight in extremely impressive fashion. It was so personal. That's how I want to remember this guy. So he's in a bad way, I think. I'm no medical professional, and I'm not going to diagnose this guy from my living room, but that's a bad deal. A bad deal. He needs help. 1-800-636-8686. Hi, Jim. Oscar had his share of women, too. Didn't he used to date Dadonna?
Dadonis.
I see what you did there, Sarah. Dadonna.
Dadonis.
You mean like Madonna. Except Dadonna. You know, Snoop getting baked is not like this. Like, I don't know what De La Hoya was on, but that's very different than these guys rolling up a blunt and smoking during, before, or after. All right, so if you want to call, you go right ahead. I do want to point your attention to a stud. In case you have not been paying attention or are not clear or are not aware of the nastiest, filthiest player in the game right now, who is icing fools left and right. Don't sweat it. Tan Smack has got you covered. I mean, you should all be in the know, but just in case you're not in the know, I got you. The man dealing the most filth in the game is the same man who dominated baseball a year ago in winning the American League Cy Young Award. He also happens to be a man that I'm quite familiar with since he walked onto the legendary UC Santa Barbara Gaucho baseball team back in 2014. Yes, that legend and current Cleveland Indians ace, Shane Robert Bieber. You know I went full government there. Honestly, even giving this guy the full government treatment does not give my fellow Gaucho the proper respect that he deserves for what he's doing once again on the bump in 2021. You see, Bieber isn't just making hitters look anemic in the box. He's actually running some historic game on their asses. Has anybody caught my guy's act this season? Absolute filth. Entering their Sunday series finale against the Reds, my guy had started three games this year. April 1st versus Detroit, 12 strikeouts. April 7th against KC, another dozen Ks. April 13th versus the White Sox, 11 bleeping Ks. So if you thought that one of the best offenses in baseball in Cincinnati was going to fare any better against Biebs, you were straight fooling yourself. Because that's the funny thing about true alphas on the hill. They bring their best against the best. And considering the Reds had taken the first two in that series, Cleveland needed everything they got from Shane, and they got it once again.
Castellanos waves at that slider and strikes out.
Nice.
Struck him out. Got a piece, but Roberto Perez hung on. Swing and a miss. He struck him out with a slider down and away. 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 5 strikeouts for Shane Bieber.
It's a guessing game with him.
And Barnhart guessed wrong. A half dozen strikeouts for Shane Bieber. The 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out to end the inning. Swing and a miss. He struck him out for number 11. And that's 4 in a row for Shane Bieber. Struck him out looking. A baker's dozen, 13 Ks for Shane Bieber.
In other words, a slide piece, a four-seamer, a cutter. All that's going to change up. Sit your ass down. 8 innings of ace bleep and a season-high 13 Ks for the Isla Vista icon. Cleveland gets a much-needed dub. And when I said earlier about being historic, that's not just something I'm throwing around. That's not a turn of phrase. He's historic. I meant that for Shane Robert Bieber. That gives him 48 strikeouts on the season, ties him with Nolan freaking Ryan for the most all time through the first four starts of the year. Also, according to Elias Sports, he now has 10-plus strikeouts in each of his first four starts this year, meaning he's the first pitcher with 10-plus Ks in his first four starts since the mound was moved to its current distance back in 1893. Yeah, I don't know. If you do something in the sport of baseball that has not been done since 1893, you're pretty freaking filthy. 18 freaking 93. Not 1993. 1893. So, if you thought that I was done listing off numbers for my dude, wrong. There's more. According to Cleveland beat writer Mandy Bell, Bieber is on a 16-game streak of punching out at least eight guys every outing. That ties him with Pedro as the second-longest streak ever, and he's now just one game back of the unit's record. Watch out, unit. My man's coming for you. Not for that greasy mullet that you sported, because nobody will ever touch that. Your first ballot, Hall of Fame. You have your own wing. You have your own Hall of Fame for that greasy, disgusting mullet. Nobody will ever touch that. However, unit, your K record is as good as gone. Hell, my guy's making so much history, I could run down his numbers for another segment, but I won't do that. You all get the point. Shane Bieber is on another level. Just think of the names that I ran down with this guy. Think of the names that he's right alongside now. Nolan, Pedro.
Talking about pitching, interesting to see Ramon Martinez. I mean, that's pretty nice. Where it would be nice if the guy wasn't finished when you were both in high school. What's up with that?
Yeah, his brother's Pedro.
Too much. Anyway, Biebs has his name right alongside Nolan, Pedro, and the unit. And the name Bieber properly belongs with them. Yes, I said it. Hell yes, he does. Gaucho bleeping pride now. Baseball's best show on the bump right now. And it looks like the spiraling Yankees are next up for my man to put into the wood chipper. In New York, this is the last guy you want to see. You're the first ones he wants to see, and he's the last guy you want to see. But show some respect. Do not do my guy like you did the unit and his greasy mullet back in the day.
Hey, what? No cameras, man.
What is that?
No cameras.
Get out of my face, that's all I ask.
It's not going to fix you.
No, you're not.
No cameras. I got him, Randy. I got him.
All right. Don't get in my face. I don't care who you are. Don't get in my face.
Just taking a picture.
Don't get in my face or don't talk back to me, all right? Or you'll see what I'm like.
Welcome to New York.
So amazing. That exchange gets better and better and better with time. I love again, the unit telling somebody else, don't get in my face. What dude and what stepladder are getting in that guy's face? He's 12 feet tall. Who was going to get in his face?
Don't be in my face or don't talk back to me, all right?
And I love the way he's talking to this guy, this camera guy, like he's his 12-year-old son. Don't talk back to me.
Don't be in my face or don't talk back to me, all right?
Who's getting in your face, unit? You're 12'8". Nobody is getting in your face. Don't talk back to me. And then that dude just ends it with, hey, yo, man, welcome to New York. Get used to it. Anyway, you try that. New York, you try that with the Biebs. Don't do it. Number one, Biebs is a super dude. Laid back. I mean, fierce, but laid back. Don't try any of that with him, or he's going to go Ryan Express on your ass and still wrestle you into a headlock and start dotting you or punching you out, swinging, looking, every which way. Gauchos don't bleeping play. And neither does my guy Shane Bieber. Don't get in his face. Don't talk back to him.
Don't
aggravate him. And most of all, don't think you're going
to
hit the ball squarely even once against him, because you're not. You give that gaucho the respect he's earned. When we return, got another segment for you prior to my interview with Jordan Palmer. So this is when you want to get through. there was some other baseball from this past weekend that I want to try to get to. A-Rod's not in a good way, is he? All of that coming up. So when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you are talking to somebody who is not just waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you actually have to say. They're focused on you. They're ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. In other words, our folks listen to you so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. Make that call, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Right back at it. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by. All right, so I want to get into this on Friday. However, a horse racing show literally broke out in the jungle on Friday. And you clones were actually an awesome co-pilot for the conversation and drove most of it. I can't lie, man. I had a lot of fun with it. But because I got caught up and had fun with it, there were certain things I didn't get to, and I wondered whether or not they would jump the weekend, and at least one of those things did, and other things happened over the weekend. All right, so let me talk about something that happened late last week that jumped the weekend and is still a thing and still updating. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, getting dumped by Jennifer Lopez. Let me get into that right now because my man is coming unhinged. He's coming unglued. Thankfully, it's the start of a new week because A-Rod had a really rough go of it these past 7 days, and not just with her. Remember when Alex Rodriguez was this close to buying the New York Mets with J-Lo last year, or so we thought? Yeah, well, life comes at you really fast because after getting dunked on by Steve Cohen and then losing out on the Mets bid, now he is settling for the Minnesota T-Wolves, and he's doing it without Jenny from the block. Because Jenny and him aren't even on the same block anymore, which we will get to in a second. So, Rod is about to buy a stake in the T-Wolves, which is cool, I guess. Except for the fact that their star rookie, Anthony Edwards, straight up told the media he's got no idea who Alex Rodriguez is. I mean, you know that's got to crush Rod, right? The Rod's been gallivanting around town, holding Lowe's purse, and coattailing her into any event that he can. The Super Bowl, the Grammys, late night talk shows, the list goes on and on. If there's a red carpet with Jenny on it, there's A-Rod off to the side taking cell phone pics like a weirdo. Everything seemed to be going great for this guy. And then in 2019, he drops down on one knee. He offers J-Lo her fifth engagement ring in a made-for-tabloids moment with dozens of photogs surrounding them on a beach. Very intimate and oh-so-private and low-key. Psych!
Psych!
The only thing more hilarious than J-Lo seeing a fifth dude on their knee and having an engagement ring for every finger is that Alex was also wearing a ring of his own. Not one that she gave him, but rather his 2009 World Series ring. My man iced up for the occasion. He knew he was going to be photographed, so he put on a gaudy piece of championship hardware from a decade prior just for the occasion. Well played, Rod. Well played. That's what you want to do. When you're proposing, you definitely want to be wearing your own ring, 50 times bigger and louder and more noticeable than the one that you're giving the other person. Extremely well played, Rod. Way to make that engagement all about you. Now, I would ask him if he planned to make her stand at the altar while he walked himself down the aisle to Here Comes the Bride. But it doesn't appear that the once happy couple is going to make it that far. Nope. Last week, they released some lame statement to the Today Show confirming that it was over and blah, 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 blah. Who cares? The only redeemable thing about that, about them breaking up, to a daytime talk show is that friend of the jungle and LA Times sports columnist Dan Wojcicki got over with this incredible dad joke that he tweeted out, quote, saddened that Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez didn't make it. Shocked that they announced it on today instead of waiting for tonight.
Waiting for tonight.
Oh. Damn, Daniel. Damn, Daniel. Back at it again.
Damn, Daniel. Back at it again.
As if Rod weren't having a bad enough week. First off, a future employee doesn't even know him. Then the low kicks him into the curb. Then Dan Wojcicki just beats him to death with a bunch of popsicle sticks.
Damn, Daniel.
A-Rod went from almost buying the Mets with J-Lo to settling for the T-Wolves without her. And then getting dunked on by a star employee, and then getting clowned by Dan Wojcicki.
Daniel?
Man, when it goes fast. Now it turns out that Dan Wojcicki is not the only guy who can cue up a song for a breakup. A-Rod himself decided to be a DJ over the weekend. And what can only be described as the saddest and most pathetic Instagram story in the history of the platform, Alex Rodriguez posted a video of a weird J-Lo shrine that either he made in response to all that or already had of her in his home. Lots of framed pictures of her and their kids. Filming a shrine to your ex is strange enough. Posting it for the entire world to see is next level bizarre and unsettling, especially when you're him and she's her. But this next part is going to blow your mind. I know it did mine. In the background of the shrine video, Rod was blasting. Wait for it now. A little longer. Coldplay. And the song he had going was Fix You.
And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse?
I mean, the lyrics for that song include these lines. Tears stream down your face when you lose something you cannot replace. I promise you I will learn from mistakes, and I will try to fix you. Like, cringe level infinity and beyond. Is this real life? Is 45-year-old and serial baseball cheater Alex Rodriguez really blasting Coldplay while filming a shrine to his ex-fiancée, Jennifer Lopez, and then blasting it out for the world to see and hear? Bro, I know this is impossible for you, but damn, man, get a grip. I mean, I know that that's probably the ultimate one that got away.
Grip.
But dude, that is not the kind of content A-Rod Corp should be putting out there. Man, that is just super sad and super depressing and super pathetic and super weird and super cringy. I know breakups are hard. Really hard, especially ones with Jennifer Lopez. But bro, chill out. Put the freaking phone down. Shrine out and rock out. Play it all you want. Man, just don't film it and post it. I never thought you'd have a more bizarre moment than making out with yourself in the mirror, but you just blew right by that. Instead of fixing J-Lo with Fix You by the Play, how about you go fix you and get it the hell together? Holy hell, that was awkward, dude.
Awkward.
Really awkward. Really cringy. Awkward. Even for you, Rod. And that's really saying something. And Rod. Dude, you know the bro code. You know she's not going to see that and respect it. Dude, she'll annihilate you when she sees that. then she knows how weak you are, man. You know the bro code. You don't show that. If you want to have any chance of, quote, fixing that, man, she will eat you alive. It's Jennifer Lopez, dude. My man's unhinged. I'm not saying that you can't come unhinged. I'm not saying that you can't break. We talk about this all the time on my other pod. There's so many different ways to break. You can break physically. You can break mentally. You can break emotionally. You can break spiritually. And yes, you could have your heart ripped out of your freaking chest and have her show it to you. Don't interrupt me, Alvin. Dude, but you can't post that. You can't go public with that. You got to deal with that behind closed doors. All right, when we come back, Jordan Palmer will be joining us. Oh, my bad. I thought you wanted me to get out. Alvin said break because I was talking about all the ways you could break. I thought you meant break like we have a guest get out. No, I mean, I get that. Dude, you talk about the one that got away. Letting J-Lo get away probably would be really painful. And then it became reality to you. And now you are where you are. I get it, dude. However, what I don't get is you rushing to your phone and putting it out there for everybody to see, man. That's not something you want to share. And I guarantee it, it's not going to make you more attractive to her, bro. That's just cringy. Now I can go to break. Jordan Palmer joins me when we come back. First up, here's a sports update for you. Here's... Monday is always an ATP day. Ask the pros. You ask me a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, Romy. When the local talking heads feebly attempt to copy your style and swipe your takes, are you flattered or annoyed by it? Mike in Lancaster. Wow, dude. I didn't even know that was going on. That's the first I've ever heard of that. Yeah, no, I don't care. I don't care. I'm worried about me. I've always used to say, way back in the day, I'd always say, I am focused on doing my show and interviewing athletes, and a lot of them are focused on talking about me. I don't know if this is still an issue or what's going on, but no, I do not concern myself with what other people do. I concern myself only with what I can do and what I can control. So no, not a thing. Not a thing at all. I am efforting Jordan Palmer. I'm going to find him momentarily. Meantime, what else do we have here? Dear Jim, Bieber is running down the unit, but has he ever exploded a pigeon with a fastball? Jerry in Phoenix, not yet. He could if he wanted to. He chooses not to. I don't think you really understand what I'm saying about Shane Bieber. He's being mentioned in the same sentence with the likes of Nolan Ryan, Pedro, et al. Soon they will be mentioned in the same sentence with Shane Bieber. He's that good. Romy, you're so right. The entire event was an absolute circus. Regards, Trader Joe's parking lots. Denny in the 402. Rome Slice, as bad as this weekend was for a representation of boxing, I'm enjoying all the talk about some of the old great bouts. Nothing compared to hyping up about in the weeks leading up to Saturday, then getting everybody together to throw down a five to chip in for the pay-per-view. 90s, 2000s boxing era was the greatest. Also worth, or always worth it, and something that's hard to match now, even with UFC. The magic just can't be matched. Signed, Dustin Rhodes, The American Dream. I would take even further back. Again, I can remember pay-per-views like literally late 70s that I'd watch with my dad. And he would tell me stories about how he would actually watch closed-circuit fights in movie theaters. Like some old-school stuff like that. where my old man would regale me with stories of going to the old Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles. That's throwing it way back. And watching Danny Little Red Lopez or Bobby Chacon. I mean, some of my greatest childhood memories were watching pay-per-view events and big fights on TV with my dad. That was the best. Trying hard. So now I think about, all right, so what do I do with my kids? What's really interesting, so Jake's in college, Logan is 16, and when I think about the sports that I watch with them now, like back in the day, I'd watch everything with my old man until he'd say, get your ass out of the house, man. The sun's out. Go do something. Now I think about how I watch sports with my kids. Logan was all hyped on Jake Paul v. Ben Askren. As a 16-year-old kid, he was all hyped about that. And not because he's like a YouTube guy. In fact, if anything, I would imagine Logan was really intrigued and wanted Askren, I think. But just into it. And then literally one of my favorite things to do right now is watch baseball with my son. Because my son plays baseball. Because my son trains pretty hard in baseball. Because my son gets specialized training in baseball like a lot of kids do now. What I'm saying is he knows the game really well. And because he pitches, when I sit and watch baseball games with my son, it's great to hear my kid break down what the pitcher is trying to do. A major league pitcher. And then it's amazing to hear my 16-year-old son, because he plays high school baseball, just in awe of what he sees major leaguers do, because now he knows. So one of my favorite things to do in life right now is to sit and watch baseball with my kid. Like even back in the day when we had season tickets to the Angels, the kids were, Jake and Logan both, were not as advanced. Now it's a blast. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a former NFL quarterback, a quarterback consultant, founder of QB Summit. Players he's worked with include Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Drew Luck, Locke, Joe Burrow. This year's class includes Trevor Lawrence, Brady White, and Shane Bouchel. We've got a few moments with Jordan Palmer. Jordan, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you, Jordan. So let me just jump right into this. I want to ask you about Trevor Lawrence. There was an interesting piece in SI recently where he said, quote, I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder. Everybody's out to get me, and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. End of quote. Personally, Jordan, I really, really like that response. For some guys, it works to have made-up criticisms and to keep putting chips on their shoulders. But if that's not who you are, is there any point in doing it just because other people expect it?
No, not at all. I think so much about this game and this position, more importantly. And then when you talk about the upper echelon of guys, you know, the top couple players in the league or the top couple picks in this draft class, you know, any year, a word that never gets thrown around in the media, and I don't hear it thrown around a lot in the scouting circles either, but it's huge in the locker room, is authenticity. How authentic are you? Are you a fraud? Is this for show? Is this for the gram? Or are you just being true and honest to who you are? And the great ones I've been around are really authentic, even if they rub people the wrong way, even if they speak their mind and not everybody loves it, or if they speak their mind and they're just being honest that they don't need the same motivation that the people around them need to be motivated. And I think that's what's happened here with Trevor is he's incredibly honest and authentic. It's pretty hard to knock somebody. I think his record in high school and college is like 86-4. So it's pretty hard for some reader of a magazine to point out and say, well, that's not going to work. And a guy that he's so sure of himself and confident that he's just kind of laying it out there. Look, this is how I tick, and this is what's worked for me. And I don't think anybody who reads that and says he's not internally motivated or that's not enough for him to be great, that's their own opinion. And it's why he's had the career he's had. And they haven't.
I think that's an awesome response. I love that, that if you're authentic, you're not doing it for the show or quote the gram. Another word, Jordan Palmer, my guest, you mentioned authenticity. Also, another word you just mentioned right there is confidence. You've made the point that for a quarterback to have success in the NFL, it takes more than just physical talent. You need to have not only confidence, but true confidence in yourself and maturity. So how would you rank him when it comes to confidence and maturity?
He's got plenty of both. I mean, from a maturity standpoint, I don't like to answer, you know, rank guys or here's what I think about this guy based off my personal interactions. I'd rather just do it off what the data says, right? So for him, he's 86-4. If I'm off by a game or two. And from a maturity standpoint, look, this guy really actually this offseason, by the way, came in as a true freshman and went undefeated and won a national title, right? And then the sophomore year backs that up big way. And the only game he lost was to, you know, Joe Burrow's historic year. But really this offseason, he really started the let us play movement. You know, people forget because of the, you know, the way what's been going on in the world. We forget the origin of last football season. And I'm not talking about college. I'm talking about football at every level. And it started in college with the let us play movement. And I know that the NFL was watching to see how the NCAA was going to handle the pandemic. And he really used his platform to start the let us play movement. Then, and the irony of that, Jim, if there's one player in this draft class that did not need to play football this year and would not have had his draft stock affected, I think 100 out of 100 people would agree that it's Trevor Lawrence. So the irony there is thick. The second thing is when George Floyd died, he used his platform to really put himself out there and help unite and help with social injustice. So again, uses his platform to do that. He just got married. He went through that whole thing. So just the maturity of how he's handled situations, situations he's never handled before, but he handled them as if he had already, that shows me maturity. It kind of doesn't matter what I personally think. That's just what I've seen and we've all seen. And then on the confidence side of things, you just don't, you know, they're the top recruits in the country. Every year there's a kid who's the top recruit in the country. Not all of them end up going number one overall. And so this kid has managed the expectations because of how authentic and confident he is. And then he's had these 3 great years of college football. And now here he is stepping into the league. He knows what he's going into. And he's in a position where I think he knows what he needs to work on and knows what he has that's going to translate to the game. And that confidence is going to show on Sundays.
Great, great stuff. Jordan Palmer joining us. Jordan, before you go, and I wish we had more time, but before you go, I want to ask you about Shane Buechele, somebody else you're working with this year. You recently had a really interesting Instagram post where you wrote, quote, "He's raising the bar in terms of what a dude in his early 20s can teach a guy in his mid-30s, end of quote. That's really interesting to me. How would you describe him as a quarterback, and what have you learned from him?
You know, Shane is a guy that, I don't know what round he's going to get drafted. I don't really care. I think he's going to play 12 to 15 years, and if there was a place I could put a bet on that, I would. This is the type of guy, his balance of just being, like, kind and a caring person, which I know a couple listeners right now are going, what the heck is this guy talking about with quarterbacks? The balance of that, but also competitiveness, where he is just not going to lose anything to anybody, basketball, baseball, chip shots, goalposts, any inning, that balance is very unique. And so you get a guy who's not afraid to be kind and caring and ask you how you're doing and care, but at the same time, he's not interested in losing at all. You know, he's a high draft pick baseball player. His father played forever in the majors. His uncles did too. Started as a true freshman, broke Colt McCoy's freshman quarterback records at Texas. Transfers because it kind of got ripped from his hands. And this guy, you know, he got benched for Sam Ellinger. And then when Sam got hurt in 2 different games, one game he went 10 for 10, the other game he went 9 for 10. So just coming off the bench after being benched and just locking back in and balling, transfers to a school and breaks all the records. You know, he's 6'1", and he ran a 4.8, and all the measurables are going to say, whatever. But I'm just telling you, this guy is he's a Chase Daniel, Case Keenum type guy where you're going to go, man, this guy's still playing? Or he's going to end up starting somewhere, and you're going to go, man, this guy became a starter? And so it's been a blast to be around that guy and watch a guy go through his journey with his mindset. And these kids, Jim, I'm telling you, these kids at 20 and 21 are getting more and more mature every single year.
Such good stuff. Former NFL quarterback. He is a quarterback consultant, founder of QB Summit. And again, this year's class includes Trevor Lawrence, Brady White, Shane Buechele. Jordan, I wish we had more time, but literally this particular show is ending right now. So I'll take what I can get. Great to have you back, Jordan. Thanks so much. Hope we can do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Good job. I have great admiration for him. I have such respect for Jordan Palmer. I think he's fascinating to listen to. And the comments that he made about Trevor Lawrence, I agree with 100%. Just because this guy's not going to come out and say, yeah, man, let me tell you something. It's personal. Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I've said myself at times, almost everybody I know who's accomplished something great has had a chip on their shoulder. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I do believe that to a certain extent, but I don't think you need it to be a great success. And why would he have it, right? He's had success on every level that he's ever been on. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have fire. It doesn't mean he doesn't have grit. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want it badly. He's just not running on that kind of fuel. He's running on a different sort of fuel. And I don't think that means that he's not going to give you everything he has. That doesn't mean he doesn't want it as badly as anybody else on the field. It just means he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. He's not running on that kind of fuel. He doesn't have a book of everybody who's ever doubted him or slighted him. Because really, nobody has. All he's done is won on every single level. See, I don't buy that whole thing about, yeah, well, he doesn't want it badly enough. He didn't say it. As Jordan Palmer just said, man, how much of that stuff's real anyway? How much of that is, quote, authentic? And how much of that is for show? And more importantly, how much of that is for the gram? That's a wrap now. Good Monday show. My thanks to Jordan Palmer, Jason Lockenfora, John Morosi, the XR4TI crew, and you clones. You have a great day. See you right back here tomorrow. We're out.